We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Welcome to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle World Outreach Center. And now for today's message, here's Pastor Chuck Longworth.
I recognize that this is the Memorial Day weekend, and we have already recognized that in our praise and worship, and we've prayed for those who have made that sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice, that we might have the freedoms that we enjoy. But the Lord has laid a different message upon my heart today. And I want to read you a passage of Scripture from 2 Kings 6:8-23. If you have your Bible handy, you might want to reference that or look it up. 2 Kings 6:8-23. I'm reading from the New King James translation. Now the king of Syria was making war against Israel, and he consulted with his servant, saying, "My camp will be in such and such a place." And the man of God, referring to Elisha, the man of God sent to the king of Israel, saying, "Beware that you do not pass this place, for the Syrians are coming down there." Then the king of Israel sent someone to the place of which the man of God had told him. Thus he warned him, and he was watchful there, not just once or twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was greatly troubled by this thing, and he called his servants and said to them, "Will you not show me which of us is for the king of Israel?" And one of the servants said, "None, my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet, who is in Israel, tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom." So he said, "Go and see where he is, that I may send and get him." It was told him, saying, "Surely he is in Dothan." Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to him, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So he answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek." But he led them to Samaria. So it was when they came to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you've taken captive with your sword and bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master. Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land Israel. You know, we're facing in America today, we're facing a multitude of problems, social problems, financial problems, political problems, and spiritual problems. And what I want to ask you today is, what do you see? As it seems sometimes that we are overwhelmed by difficulties and problems, what do you see? And I ask you, first of all, what are you looking with? Are you looking with your physical eyes, or are you looking with spiritual eyes into the supernatural? In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18, we read, "While we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal." And so, if we're depending just on what we can see with our physical eyes and what we can hear and recognize with physical information, then we are very limited. But if we're seeing with spiritual eyes into the supernatural, we can see, just like when Elisha asked God to open the eyes of his servant so that he could see the chariots of fire that were surrounding the city. And he said, "There are more with us than there are with them." And that's a very important perspective. And then I would like to ask you, where are you looking? What is your focus? Are you looking at the problems primarily, or are you looking at God's ability to deal with those problems? You know, Jesus taught the disciples on one occasion, he said, "If you have faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain," and mountains many times are used as a analogy for problems in our lives. And he said, "If you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea." And if you believe that God will do what you're saying, and if you don't doubt in your heart and you speak it forth, it will happen. You know, there's very few occasions that I can think of where we would actually need to see a mountain, a physical mountain, removed and cast into the sea. But there are many problems that arise in our lives and things that we're faced with that are mountains to us and need to be removed, need to be cast into the sea. So while we're talking about this, think about a telescope. If you've ever looked through a telescope, you know that if you look through it one way, it magnifies what you're gazing at, what you're focusing on. But if you look at it the other way, it minimizes what you're focusing on. And that's a good analogy to think about, because what we need to do is focus on the Lord with the telescope in the normal direction, and it makes God look bigger and bigger in our vision and our focus. And then when you look at your problems, you need to turn it around and focus on your problems with the telescope backwards, so that your problems become smaller and smaller, and God and His ability to deal with the problems become greater and greater in our lives. That's what's really important. The Bible says that those things that are impossible with man are possible with God. And it's very important to realize this and to believe it with all our hearts and to act like we believe it. And then thirdly, well, before we deal with that, I want to direct your attention to one more scripture that has to do with looking at things from God's perspective. In 1 Kings chapter 18, verses 42 through 46, this is just after Elijah, and if you remember from studying Scripture, you know that Elisha was Elijah's understudy, and Elisha asked before Elijah left in a chariot of fire, Elisha asked God for a double portion of the anointing of the Holy Spirit that was upon Elijah. Elijah was a powerful, powerful man of God. And yet, when Elisha saw Elijah leave this world in a chariot of fire, he received what he asked for, the double portion of the Spirit or the anointing that was upon Elijah. But here, Elijah had just prayed down fire. He gave the prophets of Baal, this was a showdown on Mount Carmel, he gave the prophets of Baal all morning and part of the afternoon to call down fire and to show that Baal was really God, and nothing happened. They even jumped up and down, and they cut themselves so that they were bleeding, and did all kinds of crazy things to get Baal to manifest himself, but it never happened. And then Elijah restored the altar that was there, and he told them what he was doing and why he was doing what he was doing. And he took a bull and cut it into pieces and put it on top of the wood after he put wood on top of the altar. And he got ready to offer a sacrifice to God. And then you talk about faith. He had them dig a trench around the base of the altar, and the trench was considerable. It would hold a number of seahs of flour, and he had them bring barrels of water and pour over the sacrifice, over the altar, over the wood, and the sacrifice had been put upon the wood, and the water ran down, and it drenched everything that was on the altar. It drenched the ground underneath, and it began to run into the trench that was dug around there. And after he had done this, he told them, go fill so many, the same number of barrels with water again. And they brought them back and poured them over the sacrifice. And he had them do that all together three times. And then he prayed a simple prayer of faith to God, and God manifested himself and answered Elijah's prayer. And fire came from heaven. It not only burned up the sacrifice, the wood that was on the altar, it also burned the stones of the altar, and it even lapped up the water that was there. And so this is the setting for what I'm about to read you. So Ahab, that was King Ahab that Elijah had been hiding out from, because it had been 3.5 years since he predicted that there would be no rain. And Ahab was very upset with Elijah, but Elijah trusted God, and God kept him during this time. And so Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, "Go up, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There's nothing." And 7 times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the 7th time that his servant said, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." And once again, you talk about faith. Here's this little cloud, looks like about the size of a man's hand, coming out of the sea in response to Elijah's prayer. And so he said, "Go up," to his servant. He said, "Go up and say to King Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now, it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. That's where his throne was. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah. He girded up his loins. That means he put on a garment that held everything tight so he could run. And he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That's some kind of anointing, that he ran so fast that he outran the horses and the chariots and got to Jezreel before King Ahab. But God is a God of miracles, and he performed many miracles on behalf of Elijah, and many more miracles on behalf of Elisha. And so we know that when we trust in the Lord, and when we're looking to God as our source of supply, then God will come to our rescue, and we can depend on that if we're really trusting in him. I want to ask you, thirdly, are you seeing clearly as you pray and as you seek the Lord and as you determine to look with spiritual eyes, are you seeing things clearly? In Mark, the 8th chapter, verses 22 through 25, this is talking about Jesus and his disciples. He came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand and led him out of town. When he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. And he looked up and said, "I see men like trees walking. I see men like trees walking." Then he put his hands on his eyes again and made him look up, and he was restored and saw everything clearly. So we need to pray and seek the Lord and study His Word until we know that we're hearing from God, that we're seeing clearly, and that we are seeing what God wants us to see. I think about the fact that there's a scripture in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, that tells us about when Jesus and his disciples were in a small ship or in a boat, and they were headed across the Sea of Galilee, and evidently the enemy knew ahead of time. He knew where they were headed. In fact, Jesus, before they launched the boat, Jesus said, "Let's go across the sea, and let's go to Gadara." And so the enemy, the devil, knew that there was a man that was demon-possessed that lived among the tombs, and that he was going to likely be delivered if Jesus went over there. And so the enemy was going to do anything possible on his part to see that they didn't make it. And when they got on their way, Jesus took a pillow and he went to the back of the boat and he laid down with his head on the pillow and went to sleep. And there was a terrible storm that came up. And we read about this in Luke 8, verses 22 through 25. Now it happened on a certain day that he got into a boat with his disciples, and he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side of the lake." And they launched out, but as they sailed, he fell asleep. And a windstorm came down on the lake. They were filling with water. The boat that they were in was filling with water, and they were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, "Master, Master, we're perishing." Then he awoke and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. But he said to them, "Where is your faith?" In one of the other Gospels, he's quoted as saying, "O ye of little faith." And they were afraid and marveled, saying to one another, "Who can this be? For he commands even the winds and the water, and they obey him." But we need to realize that we are in touch with a mighty God, one who works miracles, and he's able to work miracles on our behalf, and there's no reason that we should be discouraged or despondent. If you're looking with spiritual eyes, if you're focusing on God's ability to solve your problems, if you're seeing clearly, when you know that you know that you know that God has heard the prayer of your heart, you can start to dance in the Spirit. You can outrun the horses and chariot. Are you in the mulligrubs or doldrums, down in the dumps? Remember the man that had the son that was tormented by the devil? And sometimes, the father said, sometimes the demons would throw him in the fire, sometimes into the water, and try to drown him. And he said, "I brought him to your disciples, and they couldn't do anything for him. Now, Lord, if you can do anything." And Jesus said, "Wait a minute. It's not a matter if I can do anything. It's a matter of, do you believe?" And he said, "Lord, I do believe, but help my unbelief." It was mixed with some doubt, because he had already brought his son to the disciples that were left, other than Peter, James, and John that went up with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration. The other disciples, the man brought his son to them, and they couldn't cast the demon out. We need to realize that it's not really. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. And if you really believe in your heart that what you're saying, based on the Word of God, based on faith in God, if you really believe that what you're saying will come to pass, it will happen. And so it's important to understand that. It's important to get to the place where we really put our confidence in. It's not so much that we have great faith, it's that we have faith in a great God, and that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even imagine. And so if you're down in the dumps today, if you're experiencing the what's called sometimes the molly grubs or the doldrums, if you're singing the blues about what's going on in your life and about what's happening in the world around us, look at these things and recognize that God is still on the throne. Nothing has caught God by surprise. The fact that the Biden family seems to be up to their ears in corruption, that's no surprise to God. And all the other things that are happening that threaten our welfare are things that do not surprise God. Trust in Him. Put your confidence in Him. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace.
You've been listening to The Lighthouse, a ministry of Covenant Tabernacle in Port St. Lucie, Florida. Join us each Sunday morning for The Lighthouse. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, visit www.covenanttabernacle.com, where you can give us feedback and make a donation.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Isn't it about time that we protect every human being in America, including the preborn? Go to personhoodflorida.com today to sign the Human Life Protection Amendment to establish liberty and justice for all. Again, that's personhoodflorida.com.
Sunrise, you gave new life forever. When you stepped outside, left death behind forever. Hope awakens from the grave with authority to save. So call His name. We call Your name, Jesus, the only God, the only God who saves. When the sun burns out, there'll be no doubt, You're the center. We receive You now. Our hearts cry.